brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I beseech you, brethren. That means I urge you. This isn't a commandment. It's an appeal. You have a choice on how you want to live your life for Christ. By the mercies of God, that's another theme of the book of Romans, is about God's love for us and about Him saving us. By the mercies of God, this is a plural. It is a Hebraism. It's an expression in the Hebrew language. When I think of mercies of God, I'm thinking mercies that go on and on and on. But this Hebrew expression of the mercies of God is not meant to be plural. It's meant to be abundant. It's like, wow, God is rich in mercies. He has plenty for you. Believe me, He has plenty for me, and I know He's got plenty left over for you. Mercy means compassion, the tenderness of God. It's His compassions never fail. How do we respond to God's mercies? We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Spiritually speaking, our bodies are brought to God's altar. We present ourselves to God. We yield to Him. Presenting means God wants you. Not all the works that you do, but He wants you yourself. You may do many things for Him, but if you're not giving yourself, that's what He wants. The Christian's body, this body, our physical bodies, is God's temple, because that's where the Spirit of God dwells. When you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us. Jesus, He was a living sacrifice. He willingly gave Himself for us. And we are to willingly give ourselves to God, because it's our reasonable service. Give yourselves supremely to God, to Christ. Bodies, it's to represent the totality of who we are and what we are. Our entire being. It's your total personalities, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your heart, your emotions, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. So God wants your eyes. He wants what you see. He wants those things that you take in. He wants your ears. What do you hear throughout the day? What are you putting your ears to? He wants your mouth. What do you say during the day? What do you communicate? What are you sharing with other people? He wants your hands. What you do with your hands. What you lay hold of with your hands. He wants your feet, where you go, the direction you take. What do you pursue? God wants all. This is His design for every one of us, that we continually and always are coming before God, presenting all that I am, all that I have, to the God who is all that He is. Another example is when you come to the Word of God. When you go to the Word of God and you open it, you are presenting yourself before the Lord. The Word is alive. This is alive. The Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. You have a choice when you read the Word to obey it or not. It effectually works in you because it's alive. Some of us are starting to do a reading plan maybe in your Bible for the year. Be very, very careful that you are not opening this, reading your three chapters so you can check it off of the list. Because that's works. That is not a relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants to meet you when you open your Bible. He wants to speak to you. Let the Word speak to you. Let it change you. Live the Word. Be a living sacrifice. That was the next part of the scripture. In the Old Testament, there were dead sacrifices that were presented to God. But in the New Testament, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Truly live for the things of God and for the things of His kingdom. We've been made living in the sense that we have new life in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be a living sacrifice to let Him have all of your strength. You have to give God your right to yourself. So, here's the main question of this part. What we must decide then, every one of us, whether or not you will agree with the Lord, your Savior, that your body will indeed be His temple. It's a big one. Holy and acceptable to God, set apart from the things of this world. You cannot have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You cannot be dabbling in what the world is doing, the things of the world. We are totally to be given to God while we are in this world. In the Old Testament, the Malachi priests, they brought sacrifices to God that were defective. They were lame. They were worthless. They wanted to keep them for themselves so that they could sell them and get more money for them. And God says, no. Give those to your own fathers. God said, you give me your best sacrifice. And what Paul is saying is you give God the first hours of your day. Give Him your best. Give Him the first fruits of what He puts in your hands. The very best of what you have, you are to offer to Him. And think about it. In reality, isn't that the entirety of ourselves? Giving them all of us? Which is your reasonable act of service? The NIV says that spiritual act of worship, this spiritual act is not merely just an activity, just a ritual. It's the involvement of your heart, your mind, and your will. When you come in here to worship on a Sunday morning, these aren't just words to be singing on the screens. It's to change us. It's our prayers given to God. The discipline of fasting, which we're doing this next few weeks, that is to offer, the discipline of fasting, breaks you out of the world's routine. If you're fasting, you should be giving up something. I can't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Because that's not there. Greatest lesson I've learned about fasting. If you don't give a sacrifice to God during your fast, how will He answer your prayers if you're in the same routine that you're always doing? You gotta change it up. You gotta stop living like you've done every single day. When you fast, you gotta change it up. You gotta be able to hear God. And if you're doing that same routine, it's hard. Offering your body to God as a living sacrifice, it's holy and pleasing to God. The discipline of fasting is going to humble you. It'll remind you of your dependency upon God, and it'll bring you back to your first love. It causes the roots of your relationship to go deeper and deeper in Jesus. And the highest goal of prayer is to find God. Yes, he wants to hear our want list and his to-do list that we have for him. But it's really to find God when you're praying. Not only are we living sacrifices, but in order to be who we are in Christ, then we have to do something else. As a result of the gospel, we should not look like we did before we met Jesus. We should be new people. So how do we do this? Well, we learned in verse 1 here, it was about surrender. That's the first part. The second one is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We cannot conform to the pattern of this world with all its evil and corruption. As believers, we live in the world that is opposed to God and it's opposed to God's kingdom. We cannot conform to that, to its lusts, its patterns, its desires, and to the sin. Is this why Jesus came? To rescue us from this? Conform means to fit into a mold. Now, we know the world has a mold that it wants us to fit into, but as believers, once we have given our hearts to Christ, once we have surrendered to Jesus, we are saying, you know what? I'm not going to conform to that mold anymore. We want to be identified with Christ, not the world. We're no longer helpless victims of this world. We have the ability to resist the world. I want to be transformed. So what does transformed mean? It means to change in condition or nature or character. It means to convert. This is an ancient Greek word, metamorpho, describing a metamorphosis. So it's like that caterpillar, right, that forms the cocoon, and then it turns into this beautiful butterfly. That's transformation. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word mind here includes your thoughts and your will. Now, I have a strong will where I can say, I'm going to stay away from the chocolate. But I've discovered in the last 6 months, I eat chocolate in the afternoon and I can't sleep at night. So over Christmas, I had the joy of having my chocolate in the morning with my coffee. My will. It was my decision. I can do that if I want to. Your will is part of being transformed by God as well. This is the opposite of being conformed to the world. The battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is right here. It's in your mind. It's in the mind of the believer. Christians must think differently. We can't think like the world. It means we need to think like Jesus. It means begin to see the world and ourselves the way Jesus sees us. How do we do that? It's by taking the Word of God into ourselves, and it changes how we think. Put the Scripture in your mind, push play, then repeat. The problem with many Christians is they live a life based on their feelings, or they're only concerned about doing. The life based on feeling says, oh, how do I feel today? Oh, do I feel like going to church? How do I feel about my pastor? Huh. How do I feel about that annoying person that's at work that just, yeah. How do I feel? How do I feel about worship? This life by feeling, will never, ever know the transforming power of God. You know why? Because it ignores the renewing of your mind. Put the Scripture in your mind. Push play and repeat. The life based on doing says, oh, don't give me your theology. Just tell me what to do. Give me the those 4 little points for this and the 7 little keys for that. But this life of doing will never, you will never know the transforming power of God, because it ignores the renewing of your mind. Put the scripture in your mind. Push play and repeat. God is never against these principles about feeling and doing. I'm not saying that. He is a God of powerful and passionate feelings, and He commands us in His Word to be doers of the Word. Yet feelings and doings is a completely insufficient foundation for the Christian life. The first question cannot be, how do I feel or what do I do? Rather, it must be, what is true? What is in God's Word? Put the scripture in your mind, push play, and repeat. I'm going to share a personal testimony on just that. 4 or 5 years ago, I realized that there was something missing in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I came to many of you and asked for prayer. Those that are closest to me, you may remember that season of my walk. They prayed for me. Oh, I was touched. I was blessed. I cried. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But I walk away from every one of your prayers, and nothing changed in my walk with the Lord. Nothing happened. Oh, yes, it did, Tracy. Yes, it did. No, nothing changed. I was still struggling spiritually. I felt insecure. I felt hollow. I was lost. There was little joy. Lord, what is going on? I got so tired of writing it out in my journal, page after page. I was going to bring my journal, and I thought, nope, I'd get too sidetracked. But we had a conference here, and I went up for prayer afterwards, and this lady didn't know me, and I told her, I said, I need a spiritual healing. She said, what's going on? So I shared a little bit about that, and she goes, you, my dear, are believing a lie of the enemy. Instantly, that dirty devil, I have been believing a lie of the enemy. I knew it right then and there. She prayed, and I knew that I needed to fight that lie with the Word of God of who I am in Jesus Christ. I am a daughter of the King. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and because I knew I had to refill my brain with who I am in Jesus, I immediately saw an acrostic. I didn't know what that acrostic word was. But as I went to the Lord, I tried all kinds of things, and finally, God said, but you're my daughter. Yes, you often call me your daughter. I am a daughter of the King. D, I am deeply loved. A, I'm anointed, and I'm able to do anything by God's power. U, I'm unashamed. G, I have great worth apart from my performance. H, I'm His workmanship. I am holy and acceptable, blameless before Him. T, I am totally saved and forgiven, and I'm treasured by my Father God. E, I'm equipped with every spiritual blessing through Him, through His power. And R, I am redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Submit to God. I submit to His lordship, His ownership, and His reign in my life. And no longer will that enemy steal my passion, my focus, my identity in Jesus Christ, because He's a defeated foe. Be gone in the name of Jesus. That's what I said to myself every time that insecurity came. Now, does it come back? Of course it does. Friends can remind me, wait a minute, Tracy. But you know what? The identity part of this, what the enemy does, he's got a strategy against every one of us. And we need to have the strategy of God's Word to fight. strategy. His strategy in my insecurities was he magnified my insecurities. He made me doubt who I was in Jesus Christ. He made me question, what has God really given me? That's what he does. This is a principle to take away. We behave how we believe. How do you behave outside of this church? You behave how you believe. God's word is what changes us from the inside out. Stop believing the lies. What does God say? What is his truth? Spiritual transformation is moving from conformity to the world to conformity to the kingdom of God. It's a process, people. It's not a single event. It's a continuous action of the Holy Spirit that's going to last your lifetime, constantly transforming us, constantly changing us into the image of Jesus Christ. You know what our responsibility is? To stay open to it. Don't think you've arrived. You have to stay open to the process of being transformed. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think we will do this one. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. For Paul, this transformation and renewing of our minds takes place when we behold the face of God. When we spend time in his presence, when we read the word, when you look in the mirror, you see yourself. The same is true when you look intently into God's word. You see yourself as he sees you. Allow God's word to wash your heart until you are changed, transformed into his likeness. Put the scripture in your mind, push play, and repeat. Write them on index cards. Carry them in your pocket. Put them on your apps on your phone. Continual renewal of your mind is the only healthy state for a Christian. Constantly growing, constantly changing to become more like Jesus. This is one of the reasons that life groups are so special. We learn in small groups by reading the Word together. We get an understanding of what it means with our life group friends. And by the way, you will become friends very quickly once you get into a group. You apply that to your life, and it brings about change and transformation. So, part of this process of transformation is to know and use your spiritual gifts. So Romans 3 through 8, we're going to read that right now. For I say through the grace given to me and to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberty, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. When I started studying these passages, I did 9 through 21 first. And I don't think we're even going to get to cover it. But my favorite was 3 through 8. Oh my gosh, I was so excited. I love the gifts. If you want to talk about the gifts, come talk to me. I love talking about the gifts. There's many, many gifts, but I can't go into that right now. So, in addition to the renewing of your mind and your thoughts, which we learned in verses 1 and 2. Now, in verse 3, it says we should have a spirit of humility in how we view ourselves and in the use of our gifts. We're not to have exaggerated opinions of ourselves, nor are we to overestimate our abilities or our importance. But sometimes the opposite is true of us as Christians. We may feel like, oh, we just can't do anything of any value for the local church. And that's a lie, by the way. Verse 7 and 8 says we're to exercise our gifts faithfully and enthusiastically. Our gifts are from God. We cannot take any credit for them. We need to accept them and use them to honor His name. Every one of you have a gift. I believe I've done a lot of evaluations for gifts over these many years that I've been here. And I've noticed over and over, everyone has one gift that they're predominant in. Some have many gifts that they're predominant in. But each of us must use those gifts by faith. We're designed and gifted to serve in accordance with the gifts you have. We're not to covet other people's gifts. And the key is for all these gifts to come together cooperatively to give place to others so that when they exercise their gifts, they all blend together. So I'm going to go through these gifts briefly. Prophecy is the ability to speak a message from God to the church through a yielded believer, given in the language of the speaker and the hearer. Ministry simply means serving. Serving in practical ways. Serving is the special desire and ability to identify an unmet related need in the body and make use of available resources to meet those needs, doing so with willingness and a joyful heart. Teaching. This is a special ability to acquire and communicate spiritual truths relevant to the needs of the body in a way that others are motivated to learn it with a joyful attitude. Teaching, it's a special ability to acquire and communicate. Did I just say that? Sorry. Exhortation, the ability to minister words and deeds of comfort, encouragement, and counsel to others in such a way that they feel strengthened and helped. Giving, this is the ability to make and cheerfully contribute their material resources without selfish motives to meet the needs of other people and to advance the kingdom of God. Leadership, it's an ability to set goals for the body in accordance with God's will, to communicate these goals to others, to motivate them to work together harmoniously, and to accomplish these goals for the glory of God. And the seventh one is mercy. This special ability to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals in distressing situations, to translate that compassion into cheerfully done deeds that reflect Christ's love and alleviate suffering. Would you like to know what your spiritual gifts are? How many know? Show me a hand. How many know what your gifts are? Ooh, that's pretty good. About 25-30%, I'd say. Awesome. Are you using them to serve in God's church? If you want to know what your spiritual gifts are, I have, of course I have, an evaluation form back there at the Information Center. I want to tell you also, I've done the evaluation form on myself more than 4 or 5 times, and it changes. As you know what your gift is and you work in it, and faith, you think, oh, I can't do this. But yes, you can. God's given it to you. And when you work it in faith, it grows. And then when you're in another area, that gift will grow as well. But I have an evaluation form at the back. You can pick one up. And it's like 70 questions. It only takes 20 minutes. And it's like, am I more like this or less like this? There's a scoring system on the back, but I would love to help you score it and share some thoughts with you about that. Being in Christian education, there are needs. I have vacancies, not just in teaching and assisting, but in many that can help. And that's what it means by corporatively using those gifts here in the body of Christ. God in his wisdom has bestowed these gifts in a balanced manner so that we can grow and function properly. Here's something to think about. We all know that coming to church does not make you a Christian. So why do you come? We think, well, it's to hear the word of God, to worship. It's true. There's many reasons we come to church. But really, the change, the transformation in your relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't happen here as much as it happens at home, on your own, when you are studying the word of God. You come here to be blessed and loved and encourage others with your gifts and to share with others and to be an active part of this body of Jesus Christ. So, in verse 1 and 2, we learned about being a living sacrifice, what it means to present your bodies, and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put the scripture in your mind, push play, then repeat. In verses 3 through 8, we found out we're not to think too highly of ourselves and to discover what your ministry gift is and then use it to serve God. Use your gift. If your gift is dormant, use your gift. God gave it to you. It's a precious gift. And others need your gift. Now, in verses 9 through 21, we're to behave like a Christian. A life transformed by the gospel responds to a great number of relationships. In these last 13 verses of Romans 12, there's 27 commands or instructions to provide insight to you as believers on how to interact with other believers and with non-believers. The whole of this section is rooted in the primacy of love in all of our relationships. Let genuine love guide all of your attitudes, so that you can live and have a behavior that would be worshipful to God. Remember, we behave how we believe. Now, 19 through 21, oh, it's good stuff, people, but I can't cover it. So we covered a lot this morning. And I would like to just ask if you'd go through that list that Paul has in verses 9 through 21 on your own and list for yourself the evidence of God's love in your life. You will be blessed. What do others see when they look at our lives? Are we reflecting the proper view of a Christian life to those who are watching us? You can follow all the instructions so perfectly. But if you've not received salvation through Jesus Christ, it does no good. Salvation is a love relationship with God, and his love flows through you. Do you know Jesus today? Have you received him into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to take control of your life? If you were to die today, do you know with certainty that you're going to heaven? If you don't know with certainty, I want you to stand up in your chairs right now. And we're going to fix it right now. Because God loves us so much, and he has so much in store for you. Is there anyone here that would like to say, I want to make sure that I have heaven in my future? Awesome. Then I'm going to start praying. You know, I think I'm going to stop a second. If you wanted to stand up and couldn't, it's okay. So, as a congregation, could we pray this prayer together? Would you just repeat after me so that those that might have that heart to want to know Jesus can pray this prayer? It's not about the words, it's about your heart wanting to be having Jesus as part of your life, to have him as a best friend. So if you'd please, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I don't want to conform to this world anymore. I'm sorry, I've done my own thing and sinned against you. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be identified with Christ, not the world. I open up the door of my life, and I invite Jesus to come and live in me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you prayed it before and now you really meant it, God gives you a promise. He's always with you. He'll never, ever forsake you. We have a Bible in the, I think if you come up here, if you do not have a Bible, you can get one. Now, let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for this time that we've had together this morning, looking at your word. Father, thank you for your presence here and the way you move and have your being. Father, we love you so very much. I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for your people here this morning, my family, your flock. Lord, help all of us, God, to be transformed by your word. Help us to use our gifts and to show love to others, Lord. God, I ask that you would remind us every day of an opportunity that we have to present ourselves to you and to do your will. Lord, help us to surrender all that we are to you, to serve you, to love you. Lord, if ever there was an ultimate goal, Heavenly Father, it would be to think and act as your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, allow each of us to strive to attain this goal every day, just through our actions and our words and our thoughts. Lord, I pray for these people in this church, Lord, my family. God, bless every one of them with an increase in their faith. Lord, give them hands to willingly help others. Lord, give them an obedient heart to the Spirit of God. And God, may you, God, just bless them with your favor, with spiritual perception of your truth, and bless them with your peace. Thank you, Father. In your precious name, we pray.